this morning, and we're happy that you're here. So it's that time of year. There's more traffic on the streets in the city of Maryville early in the morning. You may have noticed lots of those big yellow buses that are going all over the streets taking kids to and fro. It is the fall of the year, which means kids are going back to school. And so this morning, we're going to give a special attention here for just a moment and a focus upon our students all the way from stepping stones in preschool age through elementary, middle school, high school, college, and all of the teachers that are investing so much time and energy in our students. We want to give a special focus and a prayer for a good school year and all the effort that is being taken upon you as a student and as a teacher this year. I tried to decide how to entitle today's sermon, and I didn't particularly like the title that I came up with, but then I thought, you know what, there are a lot of movies that have really big titles, like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, or Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and so I've got this title, Back to School and the Courage of Youth. I want to talk to you about that for just a moment. As I start out this morning and just briefly kind of share some thoughts with you, I want to start by asking a question. I wonder sometimes if we need to apologize to our young people. I think sometimes we underestimate the amazing potential of our young people and their uncanny ability to handle a lot more responsibility than we give them credit for. Young adults are capable of staggering achievements, and I just want to give you a few examples of some of those achievements. Mozart wrote his first symphony at age 8. Now, granted, he's somewhat of a prodigy, but he was 8 years old when he wrote his first symphony. Or I think about William Claiborne, who was a representative for the state of Tennessee, actually, who was elected to the United States House of Representatives at age 22, which actually, from what I can understand, was actually, he was younger than he should have served, but there was a little bit of allowance that was made, but at age 22. Laura Decker, she's a Dutch sailor who sailed around the world solo between the ages of 14 and 16. Sailed around the world. This young girl, I can't say her name, but she's from Pakistan, and she won the Nobel Peace Prize at age 17. You may know this guy. Invented Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, at age 19. I think sometimes we underestimate the amazing capability of our young people. Young people can be strong leaders and can handle serious responsibility, and I think one of the greatest examples in the Bible of this is found in the book of Daniel. Daniel is a book of the Old Testament that takes place when the people of Israel, the God's people, the people of Judah, are taken away into Babylonian captivity in a faraway land. And Daniel and his three friends are captured and taken to a place that is very unfamiliar to them. Daniel 1, verses 3 and 4. Then the king ordered to bring the young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand. And the chief of the king was to take these young, capable men and teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. And the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. And they were trained for 3 years, and after that they entered into the king's service. Among those that were chosen were some of these young boys from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, he gave the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. This is from Daniel chapter 1. Now, here's what's so interesting about these young boys finding themselves in a foreign culture far away from their homes, far away from their families, far away from their parents, in a vastly foreign environment. They are put into a new Babylonian school, and their school teachers were trying to change who they were. First, they tried to get them to think like the world that they now found themselves in Babylon. There were attempts made to essentially brainwash them through Babylonian education, to teach them the language and the ways of the Babylonians, including worship to these pagan gods. They were being influenced, these young students, don't believe any longer in this religion of your youth. Don't believe in the God of Judah and the ways that He taught you. Start thinking like the people around you that you find yourself in culture, in Babylon. Start thinking like the world. Secondly, they tried to get them to start acting like the world. More than just think like the Babylonians, they were offered food and wine from the king's table that was the type of food and drink that Daniel and his friends knew that they were forbidden to partake of, that God's law had said, no, this is not appropriate for God's people. And so there was a great temptation, no doubt, put before these young boys to act like the world around them in the culture of Babylon too. And then thirdly, not only to think like the world and not only to act like the world, but then to actually become like the world. Daniel and his three friends were given new names. In other words, there was a tremendous pressure put upon these young men to start rethinking about who you are, to have a new identity. And by the way, some Bible scholars suggest that the new names that were given to Daniel and his friends may have actually been Babylonian names that were giving at least a little bit of respect toward pagan gods. And so, be like the world. Rethink about your identity in a different way. Well, Daniel and his friends showed tremendous strength and integrity, and they remained faithful to their God even while they were far away from home. Keep in mind, they are hundreds and hundreds of miles, like 900 miles away from home in Babylon, away from their parents and away from their teachers of their youth, and they're immersed in a different culture, with different influence in a different kind of school environment in these Babylonian schools. And yet Daniel and his friends showed integrity, they showed strength, they showed responsibility and moral courage, because Daniel and his friends, they knew who they were. They were Israelites. They were people of God. They loved God, and they would not be pressured by this foreign culture to be somebody that they were not. And they remained faithful to God even while they were away from home. As school starts back, I want to address the students in the room, regardless of whether you're, you know, in elementary school or high school or college. Mom and dad are not going to be there every day at school to see what you're doing. You're away from home. And the choice is yours. Are you going to be a person of integrity and courage and responsibility and show tremendous possibility and potential to be a person that will stand for what is right and remain faithful to God and to your identity as a child of God, even when you're far away from home? Daniel and his friends did. They refused to eat the food and the drink of the king. They refused even to bow down to a false god, because Nebuchadnezzar would erect this huge statue. And just picture this statue out in the middle of the town square, so to speak, and there's masses of people, of the Babylonians, that have gathered around this statue, and there's music playing, and they are commanded by the king for everybody to bow down in worship to this god. And you just see masses of people all bowing down, and there are four that remain standing. Daniel and his friends. refused to bow down to this foreign god, because they were stand-up kind of people in a bow-down kind of world. And that's the same kind of thing that we are faced with today. Students, adults alike, all of us, we're faced with the decision, are we going to cave in and be like the culture around us? Or are we going to be people of integrity that know our identity, that we know who our God is, we know who's in charge? Are we going to be people of faith who say, like Daniel and his friends who were threatened, particularly Daniel's three friends, threatened with the fact, if you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown into this fiery furnace. All those that don't bow down will be killed in the flames. And you know what his friends said? You know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said? They said, King, we know that our God is capable of saving us from this fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we will not serve your God. You want to talk about integrity. You want to talk about moral strength. You want to talk about potential for youth to stand up for what is right in a bow-down world? That's exactly what these friends did. The Bible is filled, with stories of young people, young adults, who stood up for what was right when they were far away from home. You think about young Josiah, king of Judah, who at 8 years old becomes the king and starts enacting reforms that are very much against the way the culture had gone, because the culture had started worshiping foreign and false gods. And Josiah says, no, we're going to be different. He starts to tear down all of these false idols and altars. And he brings about reform among God's people at 8 years old as king. I mean, Facebook's a pretty big deal, and kudos to Mark Zuckerberg for what he did, but Josiah was going to try to turn a nation back to God. That's an even bigger feat. And I'll tell you what, I think about Joseph, who at age 17 finds himself in Egypt, far away from his family. I mean, he's at the age of a young, strapping young man, a handsome man, Joseph, and he is tempted by Potiphar's wife to go sleep with her. And Joseph says, I can't do this evil and sin against my God. Joseph knew who he was. He knew that he had a moral code that God wanted for him, and that what was best for his life, and he stood for it, even when far away from home. Or I think about David. David, this young boy, again, probably we're talking about age maybe 16, 17, that he goes to the battlefield where Israel is up against this Philistine army, and he goes down into the valley and he says, what is this giant Goliath doing? He's cursing and blaspheming our God. How are you guys standing here as an army letting him do that? And they're all afraid because he towers above all of them. And David goes down into that valley with five smooth stones in his hand and a sling in his hand, and he looks that giant in the eye, looks up at that giant, and he says to him, today you will not defy the armies of the living God, because today the world will know that there is a God in Israel. And he brings the giant down and becomes Israel's greatest hero, a young boy, 16, 17 years old. I mean, the Nobel Peace Prize is a pretty big deal, but bringing down a giant and delivering an entire nation from tyranny and standing up for God. I think about Jesus' apostles. We don't ordinarily think of this, because when we see pictures of Jesus and his apostles, we see them as like men with beards. But most biblical scholars now believe that the majority of the apostles were probably between the ages of 15 and 18 when they followed Jesus. Jesus' apostles, his 12, it was a youth group. These boys followed Jesus and they learned what it meant to be a Christ follower. And then they went out and they spread that message and they changed the world. Students, I want you to know today that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, we believe in you. I feel the need to almost apologize to you, because for so long we've quoted statistics at you about how many young people are raised in the church and then they abandon their faith and, oh, woe is me, and we act like we don't believe in you. We act like we don't have any confidence in you. Today I want to publicly apologize for participating in that. And I want to say to you as students that I believe in you and the church believes in you. We believe that you have amazing potential as a new generation to rise up for Jesus in ways that we've not seen in our culture of late. That you have amazing capabilities to stand up for God in a bowed down kind of world. In the words of Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, don't let anyone think any less of you because you're young, but be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. This is a tremendous challenge that Paul gives to Timothy, and I think all young people today who are believers in God should hear. That no one should despise you or look down on you just because you're young. Because guess what? If Mozart can write a symphony at age 8, if Mark Zuckerberg can change the world with Facebook as a teenager, I believe that there is amazing capability and possibility among our young people to be those that not only will stand for what is right, but actually be like Daniel and his friends and stand up in the midst of a culture that is all bowing down and be an example of what believers in Jesus say, in the way we live, in the love that we have for people, in the faith that is uncompromising, and in a moral purity that says, my heart belongs to God first. And I believe in you. So here's what we're going to do as we wrap up. We're going to sing it. Tim's going to lead us in a song. We're going to do something a little different as we close up the sermon. I want to say first to you, if you are here today and you just have a general spiritual need, you need some soul care, the shepherds of the flock, some of them will be in the library, and if you have any kind of need for prayer or any kind of study need or anything like that, or if you have any questions about Jesus, I want to direct you there this morning as we're singing this song. But for everybody else, we're going to do something different for this song. During this song, as we sing together when we're standing, I want to invite all of our students to come up to the stage. So that's Stepping Stone students, that's any elementary, middle school, high school students, all of our students that are in here, I want to invite you to come up to the stage. And all of our teachers, if you teach at Stepping Stones, if you teach in our public school system, if you teach students anywhere, if you're a teacher, we want to invite you to come up as well. And our shepherds are going to be up here today, and Artan's going to lead the prayer, and we're going to have a special prayer over all of our teachers and all of our students for a new school year. So let's all stand together, and Tim's going to lead us in this song. Again, if you have a spiritual need, you can go to the library. Otherwise, we want to invite all our students and our teachers to come up front and join us while we're singing this song.
Well, you can all come up here, all the kids and the ones that go to school, teachers and students, come up here. Come up. You can turn that way. Let us all pray. Our Creator, our God, our Father in heaven, we praise you with all our heart, and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for being our teacher and for giving knowledge to those who ask and who are humble to learn. Today, Father, as we think about going back to school, we pray for all the teachers and students among us, from preschool to grad school. We thank you, Lord, for the teachers and pray that you will look over them as they plan, instruct, counsel, challenge, listen, direct, and serve our kids. We pray that you will walk with them and guide them in moments of stress and enable them to seek an understanding of each child on their care with a gentle heart. We pray that you will equip them to teach with wisdom and truth and empower them with patience and strength, with vision and with love, so that they help their students to explore and to grow. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the unique gifts of every child as they transition into a new school year. We pray that you will fill each student with fresh enthusiasm and a heart that is excited to learn and to grow. We pray that you will look over them with enduring love, give them confidence and ability to persevere through trials. Father, we pray that you will help them be grateful, will help them be thankful, that you will help them be motivated, you'll help them be inspired, you'll help them, Father, be genuine, you'll help them be wise, you'll help them be calm, you'll help them be truthful. But above all, Father, we pray that you will help them be committed to you and to your word, and that they always remember who they are and who they belong to, and they will be able to change this world for good for you. Father, today we want to bring before you in a special way the teachers and students of our own Stepping Stone School. Look over them, please, and bless them. Father, we pray that each one of us will be a student of your word and try hard to learn and apply in our daily life your teachings and your truth. Father, as we depart today, we pray that all of us will let your light shine through us and that everyone will know that your unselfish grace, and everyone will know that we belong to you. Father, continue to be with us, and we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.